Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in the studio right now are a couple of folks from the Senior Reach Program. Maria Salani is a registered nurse and care manager. And Kelly Garrison is a Senior Reach Coordinator and also a care manager for the program. Welcome to the Copper Country Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A Senior Reach Program, this is the first time we have a chance to sit down and talk about this. Has this been around for a little while? Is it something that's just getting started?
This is just getting started. It started back officially in January is when we received funding for it, but we just launched back in July. And when we originally launched, we did it primarily in Houghton County. And as of a couple weeks ago, we are officially up and running in Houghton, Baraga, Keweenaw, and Ontonagon County.
What was the catalyst or the deciding factor that said this was needed?
There is a lot of seniors. There's a big senior population up here. And unfortunately, with us being in this area, there's a lot of opportunity for those people to become isolated. And especially with the amount of snow we get in winter, there can be a lot of implications that come along with that. If they don't have family support, if they don't really have any friends, they're not getting out and about anymore, there's an opportunity for them to become very introverted, kind of stay in their homes, and I guess kind of maybe even resist anybody coming in to help. And that's what Senior Reach is designed to do, is to educate community members on some warning signs to watch out for if you're starting to notice that maybe somebody used to come out and they were involved in a lot of community activities, or they used to be interested in gardening and you don't see them anymore. If they appear to be sad, if they're having any changes in behavior, we're wanting the community members, the friends, the neighbors to notice that, because they may not be noticed in any other realm. They may not be going to doctors regularly and things like that. So we would just want to make sure that they're getting the help that they need.
Our area has a few organizations that address needs of our elderly population. Little Brothers, Friends of the Elderly comes to mind. There's the RSVP, another group. Was there something specific that your group was seeing that, you know what, we need to focus on this one particular issue?
Through Little Brothers and RSVP, we're actually collaborating really closely with those groups. In particular, the RSVP KISS program, we're trying to use that as a step down from Senior Reach. Once people are discharged from our program, to use that KISS program to kind of keep an eye on that individual and make sure things are okay after services with Senior Reach are done. But there's a gap in care. So through the Community Mental Health Office, there are a lot of restrictions for people who maybe need help with mental health concerns, and they may not qualify for services there. Little Brothers, they offer a lot of services, but not specifically mental health services, and same with RSVP. So what Senior Reach does that sets them apart from other organizations and groups in the area is that we provide in-home mental health care. So we have licensed therapists who will go into the home and do counseling. They can do depression screening and treatment, screening for alcohol or substance abuse or misuse, and right now there's not anything like that in our area. We're actually the only site in the Upper Peninsula who offers anything like this.
Who got the Senior Reach program started? What other parent organizations responsible?
So this is through Copper Country Community Mental Health and the Institute, and it's funded through Michigan Association of Community Mental Health Boards. So they are giving us the funding to kind of run this as a pilot originally to see if there's a need in our area, which it sounds like there is based on conversations I've had with community members. And it's a 2-year-long pilot, and from there we're hoping we'll get enough interest to be able to sustain it.
Who makes the person who would benefit most from a program like this?
The seniors, obviously. It's targeted to people who are 60 years old and older and living independently. And when I say independently, they can be living in a home with adult children. They can still be living with their spouse. They basically just can't be living in a facility where they're already receiving services. So obviously the senior themselves can benefit from this. And another big piece that can benefit are people who are providing caregiving services. If you have family members or neighbors, or maybe even close friends who are caring for an aging adult, this can have a real impact, because the amount of stress from personal experience of somebody who did caregiving for an elderly grandparent, the stress and pressure that comes along with that is just overwhelming.
The need in this area for programs like this is really, it's immense. And part of the characteristics of where we live that I think that something like this is so, you know, needed, that even with the other organizations that we have, that there's still a need for more help. And, you know, you mentioned about the isolation. And a lot of people that I know, even in my own neighborhood, you know, they're elderly and their family moved away. And so with the distances between us and everywhere else, they don't even have to move very far. And then they're no longer there to help if, you know, somebody needs, you know, perhaps help with clearing snow or getting groceries or getting to an appointment or just having somebody to check up on them. And in a neighborhood or prior to where I live now, which was in Lorium, there were a number of widows on the street. Mm-hmm. And as people passed on or moved away, the space between neighbors started to get a little bit bigger and bigger. So where you're used to having somebody that lived to the left and right of you and across the street, well, now two of those families are gone. And then, you know, the other person is somebody that you that just recently moved in and you don't know them. And so you even lose that sort of neighborhood contact because now your neighbors are mm-hmm. becoming further and further away. So I can definitely see where people could, you know, need somebody to keep in contact and check up on them.
Oh, exactly. The opportunity for them to become so isolated, it's so simple. And like I was saying earlier, the only people who are really going to notice if they don't have people right there, they don't have family right there, they don't have a spouse who's noticing things, are going to be neighbors. They're going to be community members who notice that I used to see this person at the grocery store all the time, I never see them. Or when I do see them, their whole mood is different. They seem like a totally different person. Or, you know, they used to keep up with themselves really well. They used to have, you know, nice clean clothes, and lately the last couple times I've seen them, they've lost weight, or their clothes are dirty or wrinkled. And that's when you can pick up and notice that maybe while those might seem like minor things on the surface, that maybe there's something underlying that's going on. And I think that's the biggest thing to address at this point is there's a lot of misconception that things like sadness, forgetfulness, confusion, they're normal parts of aging. And that's just, it's not the case. There are certain degrees of things like this that come naturally with the aging process. But when you have somebody whose entire mood is different, or they're losing weight, or they're really confused, anxious, depressed, those kinds of things, those aren't normal parts of aging. And it's either going to mean that there's an underlying health condition or maybe a mental health condition that's going on. And nobody's going to be able to detect that or know what's going on if they don't get an assessment to figure out what it is. And that's where Senior Reach can step in. When we get that first referral from somebody saying, hey, my neighbor doesn't seem to be the same as she usually is, I'm concerned about her, we have staff who will do an assessment and figure out what it is that's going on and connect them with the resources that are going to best meet their needs.
Barbie, what are some of the needs that the program has?
Some of the needs, when you think about what Kelly just said about an individual who is aging, that the community member might notice they're not themselves any longer. So maybe they have dementia going on and they are confused and they don't know or remember how to deal with day-to-day life anymore. So obviously you're going to see someone who's not well kept. Like Kelly said, their clothing might be stained, or the weight loss, or maybe they are confused. If they go to the bank and the bank teller notices that this person is not acting quite normal, I mean, you know, even that bank teller could refer the person. But when we think about mental health needs, there is such a stigma in our community still about mental health. And lots of people don't want to get involved. But, you know, we are asking the community, and Kelly's been going out training community members. I know she told me she's got like 700 community members already trained in just observing their neighbors, just to make sure that, you know, they aren't deteriorating in any way. And the way the Senior Reach can help them, as Kelly said, is we'll go in and make an assessment and determine what the need is in the home, whether it's just helping the person with personal care or light housekeeping, transportation, Meals on Wheels. Maybe it's just socialization. Little Brothers does a wonderful job, you know, going in and socializing and having meal programs during holidays for seniors. So, you know, just determine what is the need in the home. And if it is a couple living in their own home still, and maybe one of the people has a dementia diagnosis or is starting to have, you know, failing health or memory issues of any kind, and the spouse is the caregiver. That is such a stressful job when you are a 24/7 caregiver and no one has signed up to do the task of caregiving. So it takes a strain on the caregiver to know how to deal with the day-to-day issues and make sure that the day goes as smoothly as possible for both the person with whatever it may be, a physical illness or a mental health issue as a dementia, and the caregiver themselves because of the stress that goes along with caregiving. So the way Senior Reach can help with families dealing with this is, you know, to do the assessment whether we need to just get services in the home, or we do have counselors that are going to be able to go into the home to do counseling services for the person that needs it, whether it's for the depression, whether it's for dementia, and the caregiver learning how to deal with, you know, the day-to-day tasks that go along with caregiving. So, you know, we'll go in and make the assessment. And the great thing about this program, it is entirely free, and there are no financials asked about whether the person qualifies. Like, UPCAP has lots of wonderful programs, but you have to be Medicaid eligible. So this has no financial barrier whatsoever. So this is based on need. So I'm really hoping that our community embraces in this and starts using these services, because it is a wonderful program and there has not been anything like this in the past.
Right. You and Kelly have both mentioned something that I picked up on, and as we were talking about different services that are provided here, mm-hmm. a lot of them are to provide, you know, place for seniors to go and have community to, you know, have dinner or to go to a mm-hmm. picnic and take part in social events. You both have talked about professionals going into the home.
Yes.
And, you know, going, you know, that, let's face it, that's most of where our need is at our home.
Right.
And you've also talked about how our, you know, the community is, you know, can take a role by referring people, by keeping an eye on their neighbors and knowing when this need is there. And how do you balance that between people's general tendency to want to mind their own business mm-hmm. And the person who needs the help, you know, really not wanting to seem weak or seem like they need help and therefore not asking for it when they need it?
That's the issue we're running into. I mean, you know, because we know the stoic people in our community. They want to do it on their own. But there is a time and a place to get help. And this service will provide counseling services up to 8 to 10 times in a home. And think about that. That is an absolute wonderful service, in-home service for people that need just a, you know, a little help in organizing maybe their life situation the way it is and getting the help that they need. So it is a problem getting people to accept us to come into their home. And that is one of the reasons we are here, to talk about it and to really encourage community members to start thinking along the lines that, you know, we have these wonderful programs. Let's have people come in our homes, and maybe it will prevent long-term care needs for a while, you know, maybe a year or so. So, I mean, you know, if that's a benefit, that's a savings to both the person and the community when you think about long-term care costs. So I really believe that this program could be a great benefit for everyone.
And he said there's no cost. So even if you have, you know, your insurance or your Medicare says that there's, you know, sometimes a cost shared for other services, you're not going to run into that here.
No. if there is services that are needed in the home that we can't provide, I mean, in a specific healthcare needs, maybe home nursing needs to get involved. So that's a different story, okay? But this program and doing the assessment and getting services in place and doing counseling services, I'm talking mainly about the counseling services. We have several social workers with their MSWs that can go into the home and do the counseling for the person that is going to be referred. So that is a great benefit.
And I think something to talk about too in terms of privacy and a little bit of hesitation among community members to get involved with this is when we're doing the referrals and we're encouraging people to recognize when somebody might need help, we want them to have a conversation with that senior and let them know that they are noticing some changes in behavior and they're concerned, so that that senior has the opportunity at that point to say, yes, that's okay for you to call on my behalf, or no, that's not something I'm interested in right now. If it turns into something where the senior is resistant and doesn't necessarily want to participate in senior reach services, we're wanting people to at least give them the contact information so that if, you know, they have some time to think about it and they realize down the road, okay, maybe I do need some help, maybe I could benefit from that, they can call and do a referral themselves. But they absolutely have the opportunity to decline if they are asked if they can be referred. And something else I like to just note is this is a short-term program. It's max 8 to 10 visits. And there's no obligation among people who are participating. So if they get one or two home visits and they realize this isn't for me, there's no penalty for them canceling services at that point. So we're encouraging people to make sure you're having conversations when you're noticing that this is coming up. Also, just to let those people know, if they are isolated and they don't have family around, I think they'd be appreciative of the fact that somebody's noticing and somebody's concerned about their well-being. And Senior Reach, on top of everything else that they do, they have the opportunity to come in and have a conversation with that person in their home. You know, we can build relationships. We can sit down and have a cup of coffee with them in the home and maybe just give them a little bit of company. And that might be all they need.
On the flip side, if after those 8 to 10 visits, if the recipient of the care says, you know, wow, I can't believe how much, you know, better things are, or I, you know, there were things I need, I didn't even know I needed or didn't know that there was, you know, help available, are you able to refer them to where they can continue on getting the care or help that they need?
Absolutely. When we are done with our 8 to 10 visits, whether it's the care managers doing it on their own or it's our therapists going in, if that individual is interested in continuing services somewhere along the line, we're going to give them a list of resources that they can reach out to. So we are striving and advocating for these people's independence. We are wanting to make sure that these people have the tools and knowledge and resources and connections in the area to stay in their homes as long as possible. So if they can recognize that, hey, I'm really benefiting from this and I really like how I feel now and they want to continue, or if it's maybe on the opposite end of things, they feel like they maybe still need some time, but their senior reach services are exhausted, we can refer them to another organization that can help them out. So they're not just going to be turned away and, oh, hey, good luck. They're going to get a list of people in the area who can still help them out after we're done.
Where does the program stand now? I was asking you this earlier. Are you currently caring for seniors right now?
Right now, we've had one referral come through. Like I said, we just, as in the last couple weeks, expanded to all four counties. So we've had one referral come in, and it was for a transportation need. So we were able to get the referral. It came from one of the local hospitals, and the individual needed transportation to a medical appointment that was out of town. This didn't meet the need for us to come into the home, but when we received the call, we knew that this person still needed some type of service, so we were able to connect them with the transportation that they needed. And that's something that I want to emphasize too, is any person that thinks an individual needs help, regardless of what it is, even if they're not sure if Senior Reach can necessarily provide that help, still give a call. Call 482-HELP, ask for a Senior Reach specialist, and even if it's not something that Senior Reach specifically will provide, we will connect that person to the services that they need. We're not turning people away, so whatever their need is that they're calling about, they're still going to get some kind of connection to services, even if it's not specifically through Senior Reach.
Do you currently have need for volunteers or people to work with the program?
At this point, we are fully staffed, and basically what we really need is community members. We want community members to be able to recognize when warning signs are popping up that they need to watch out for. That's where our need is. We need people to start recognizing when an older adult needs some help and to make those referrals. That's our biggest need right now.
How do they get that information or that training?
They can absolutely contact me if they want specific information. I have brochures all over town. We have our Facebook page. It's Copper Country Senior Reach on Facebook. Go ahead and like us. And all of the information that's on that Facebook page is everything that you would need to know about the program in general and how to make a referral. And just there's a lot of also just general information on things that might be going on with a senior and how to address them. There's general information about aging, and we also post information about community events that we're going to be going to.
You know, you're in a position right now that you probably will never find yourself again with this program, and that you have ample resources and just need people to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that there's somebody out there, yourself or neighbors or a family or a member or a loved one that could benefit from this program, I would say it's safe to say please don't hesitate to call, because there's no waiting list, and you want to, you know, this is, you want the opportunity to be able to provide this help.
Absolutely.
How do you make a referral?
If you notice somebody is displaying warning signs that are a little bit concerning, and like I said, some of them can be sadness, anxious, forgetful, confusion, or just general loss of interest in things that they used to enjoy, obviously have a conversation with that person. Let them know Senior Reach is available and you'd like to make a referral on their behalf. At that point, if they give you the thumbs up to go ahead and give a call, you call 906-482-HELP and you ask for a Senior Reach specialist. It's really important to ask for a Senior Reach specialist because there's only a couple of people there who actually take these Senior Reach calls. And so you want to make sure that you're addressing the Senior Reach specialist in particular. And from there, they are going to want your name and your contact information in case we need to contact that person making the referral for any reason. They're going to want the senior's first and last name and their phone number. And then just a reason for the referral. The more detail they can give, the better, but it can just be a simple, I'm noticing that this person, you know, their mood is pretty sad lately. When I talk to them, they're usually pretty upbeat, and I'm worried about it. From there, that person's job as making the referral is done. Our Senior Reach staff will take it from there. We will call that senior and have a conversation with them and determine which needs will best fit their situation and hopefully get them set up with services.
You're now in Berga, Houghton, Keweenaw, and Ontonagon counties. Or you said the four counties. So I'm assuming those are the four.
Yes.
Okay. What is next, I guess? I know you want to gather people, but if you were able to carry this down the road and it's successful, what more would you like to see?
I think that right now our biggest goal is getting as many community members trained as possible and hoping to reach as many seniors as possible. We're really wanting to get, I mean, there's a, like I'd mentioned a couple times, there's a huge opportunity for people to become separated from the community and isolated, and we want to prevent that. At this point, that's our main focus. Eventually, as the program goes, it would be really great to just increase collaboration among different agencies in the area. We've already been able to collaborate with a lot of different groups, like I said, Little Brothers and the RSVP KISS program and some local senior centers and things like that. So my emphasis would be on just creating stronger collaborations and helping to bridge the gap that's between all of these. We have a lot of really great groups and organizations that provide really great services to seniors, but unfortunately, not one program can cover all ground. So there's a gap in care no matter where you go. So if we can collaborate among all of these groups, hopefully we can just bridge that gap to where we have something that's all-encompassing and can reach the biggest group of people.
As a nurse, what does it mean to you to be able to provide this and be part of this program?
As a nurse, I'm a nurturer, so I want to see the well-being of all our seniors in our community. I mean, you know, when you think about that, every one of us wants to have the very best day every day we can, and I want to make sure that the seniors that are living independently still are able to continue to live in their homes and continue to thrive. So I think that's the biggest goal, is to make sure that all our seniors are well cared for and relatively happy. I mean, you know, we can't make people happy, but really satisfied with life, I suppose. That would be the best way to say it.
And reminding people that we still care. You know,
we do.
There's still,
absolutely.
You're not forgotten. It never will be. We hope that you never will be. And people are out there to make sure that you're not.
Exactly.
And it's kind of good to be starting this program now. I think of the holidays coming up and that mm-hmm. there's going to, if we ever feel more alone and isolated, it's during that time.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just natural to feel that, especially if your mm-hmm. family's nowhere near or many of your mm-hmm. loved ones have gone. And mm-hmm. During, I guess, the season coming up, too, also just think about your neighbors, too, that if you know that there's somebody out there that could possibly use a little help and, a few visits there to talk and see if there's anything else that can be done. Any time of year is a good time to do it, but I'm sure it'll be in a lot of people's minds coming up in the holidays.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming on the program. Kelly, you gave some contact information a moment ago if people wanted to find out more. I was asking if you could give that again.
Oh, yes. They can call 482-4880. That is the number for my office. If you want more information or you're interested in maybe having me come in and do a presentation at an organization, you can get a hold of me that way. Or you can also send me an email at kgarrison, it's kgarrison, at cccmh.org.
Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today will be right back.